Revelation chapter 14. Today we're going to look at verses 6 through 13 here in Revelation 14. Two proclamations or three proclamations given here in these verses. Let's start in verse number 6. The Bible says, "And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people, saying with a loud voice, Fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come, and worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of waters. And there followed another angel, saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, If any man worship the beast and his image, and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night, who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and of the faith of Jesus. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Write, Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them." Let's pray, and then we'll look at this passage. Lord, we're thankful for your word, and we're thankful for the opportunity we have on a Wednesday night to come and to look into your word. And we pray that tonight would be a night of encouragement and just a reminder to us of who you are and what you say. So help us to understand your word tonight, I pray, in Jesus' name, amen. All right, three proclamations given in this passage. We're starting off with the proclamation concerning belief, and that's in the first two verses that we read, verse 6 and 7. It's really a last call to the Gentiles during the tribulation period. We've been looking through this tribulation period over the last couple chapters, and it will go, we'll look at it again further down the road as well. But we see the last opportunity for the Gentiles during the tribulation period. And we see here in verse number 6, we see this eternal gospel that is mentioned. And I want to look at the nature of this gospel. Again, verse 6, "I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people." We see a couple things about this this gospel that is mentioned here in verse number 6. First of all, it's eternal. We see the beast offering this in these proclamations the beast is giving and preaching and proclaiming during this tribulation period, asking or telling people to come and worship him, and promising a result, promising that's the best thing that can happen for you. That's the best thing that you can do right now. Everyone needs to do this. Everyone needs to worship. And the reality is the results that come from worshiping the beast are not, what he can offer is not eternal. What God offers when it comes to salvation is eternal. And so this eternal gospel that is being presented and proclaimed by this angel is in contrast to what the beast has been offering, the so-called gospel the beast has been preaching. And then also we see it's universal in the sense here that we see this who it's going to. It says in verse number 6, again, that having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation, every kindred, every tongue, and people. When you look at the commission that was given to the church that we call the Great Commission, you see that we are told, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That has been the commission that God has told us to do. We're supposed to go everywhere in the world, not necessarily me individually, but us collaboratively, going into the world and to all the world and preaching the gospel to every creature. Now, I've heard preachers preach on the Great Commission. I've heard them say this is a task that can be done within our lifetime, that we can go. If the church gets on board, and if each church gets on board, and man, we start sending out missionaries, and we go when God calls us to go, and we reach the people in our area, we can accomplish the Great Commission in our lifetime. And that is true. The reality is that for the churches to get on board and for everyone to be working together is the part that's hard to believe. And so is it possible? Yes, 100% it is. And remember, the Bible tells us that God says, I have all power, and I will go with you always. So God says, it's not in your own power that you can fulfill this Great Commission. It's through my power. And so that's the commission that was given. Well, in the tribulation period, remember, the Christians, pre-tribulation, have been raptured up into heaven. They're gone. And God has given 144,000 this remnant that is there that has been preaching and proclaiming and witnessing. And now, though, we're coming towards the end, and this specific chapter is referencing towards the end of the tribulation period. And God sends this angel to proclaim the eternal gospel and to proclaim it to everyone. He is fulfilling or doing what we are commanded to do before the tribulation. This angel is doing here during the tribulation. He's telling everyone. Every tribe, every nation, every tongue, every kindred, everyone that dwells on the earth is going to hear this gospel being preached by this angel. I saw one person, I think it was J. Vernon McGee or John Phillips, but one of them just mentioned the difference between us today and the angel there is the angel's going to obey. He's going to go and tell everyone. And so here comes this eternal gospel being presented, and it's being given out here to every tongue, every nation, every kindred, all these people that dwell on the earth. And we see the news of the gospel given. Look in verse number 7. We see, first of all, that it's given with conviction. It says, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him. This angel is on a mission. He's been told by God to go, and he's gone. And with conviction, he is shouting it from the rooftops. He's not standing on the rooftops, but he's shouting it. He's getting it with a loud voice, making sure anyone can hear him saying, fear God and give glory to him. It calls for conversion to fear God and not fear the beast. Remember, what the beast is preaching really is a fear gospel. It is out there. You must do this or else I will kill you or someone will kill you. And that is what the beast is proclaiming. And so here the gospel that the angel is proclaiming is to not fear the beast, but to fear God. And then he's also asking for consecration, to worship God. He says there in continuing verse 7, for the hour of his judgment is come, and worship him that made heaven and earth and sea and the fountains of waters. So he's calling for a change from fearing the beast to fearing God, and he's calling for consecration only to God. Worship him. Worship the creator of the world. Worship the creator of the universe. That is what he is giving here. And that's the first proclamation. The second proclamation is concerning Babylon. It's very short here in this passage. We will see it in detail in chapter 17 and 18. But he says there in verse number 8, and there followed another angel saying, Babylon is fallen. It's fallen, that great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. We're not going to spend time on this today because we will get to it in chapter 17 and 18. But this proclamation is a condemning proclamation that Babylon is fallen, and there's a reason why Babylon is fallen. Because she made all the nations to drink the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Again, we'll get into it in chapter 17 and 18. So that brings us to proclamation number 3 concerning the beast. Here in verse number 9 and verse number 10, we see something for those who are going to worship the beast. It says in verse number 9, a third angel followed, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and the presence of the Lamb. In verse number 8, it says that Babylon has fallen because she made the nations to drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. And God says that those who take the mark of the beast, they are going to take a different wine of wrath, the wine of the wrath of God. And there's a consequence to that too. Here we see that hell is waiting. We see the wrath from God in these verses. We see that it's eternal wrath, verse number 11. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth forever and ever. And they have no rest, day or nor night, who worship the beast in his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. We see the consequence to worshiping and following this beast, to doing what he says to do. You think through, and we talked about this when we talked about the mark a couple weeks ago, but the amount of pressure that people will be under. They will be told, if you don't do this, you will be killed. And we look back even to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, which again is a great example of this, where they were told everyone must bow. And if you don't, you're going to get thrown into a fiery furnace. And when everybody bowed, there were three young men standing. They did not fear Nebuchadnezzar or any of the leaders. They feared God. And so here it is told to us again, the first angel that comes and proclaims, he says, fear God and give him glory. And if you don't, you're going to experience the wrath of God, which is eternal. It's hell. And we see this, the terminology given, that they will be tormented with fire and brimstone, that they will have no rest day nor night. This is a severe, serious amount of wrath coming from God, and it's eternal. But we see that there's also something given to those who defy the beast. If you worship the beast, here's what you're going to get, eternal damnation. If you defy the beast, here's what you're going to get, death. Wait, what? Verse 12, here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that kept the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. And I heard with a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. You're going to experience, if you defy the beast, you're going to experience death, but you're also going to experience blessings with that death. You're going to experience suffering, but you're going to become a saint. You're going to be persecuted, but you're also going to be elevated or promoted. You're going to be beaten, but ultimately you're going to be blessed. The defiance of the beast on this earth will be a consequence. There is going to be temporary tormenting. There will be temporary pain. There will be death. There will be a consequence to defying the beast. But God says to those who have the patience enough to stick with God, you're going to experience blessings. You're going to spend eternity not in fire and brimstone, but in heaven. Although you're persecuted on this earth, you're going to be standing before God, elevated, and you're going to be blessed. You see, when the Bible teaches us in Matthew to lay not up for ourselves treasures in heaven or on earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal, but lay yourselves up treasures in heaven. This is not just a one-time thing. This is not just an Old Testament thing. This is not just an early church thing. This is not just a present-day thing. The Bible consistently teaches that any believer in Christ who will lay up treasures in heaven will be rewarded in heaven. And by laying up treasures in heaven, that is actions that we do on this earth. And so the work that we do on this earth is rewarded when we get to heaven. And as much as we like to be rewarded right now, the moment we do something good, man, we like to get a round of applause, a pat on the back, a handshake, a congrats, a thumb up on social media, or whatever it is. We want instant gratification. The Bible teaches us that God is going to reward, but it's going to come, I say at the end, it's not the end, but it's going to come after this life. That doesn't mean that we won't receive any reward in this life. But the ultimate reward, the eternal reward, the satisfying reward comes in heaven. And so the same is true for those in the tribulation period. Those who refuse to get the mark of the beast, those who choose to defy the beast and to worship God and to give him glory, boy, they are going to get death. They are going to get suffering. They're going to get pain. They're going to get beaten. But they're also going to be blessed. And they're also going to be receive this reward. When you look at the contrast between verse 9 and 10 and verse 12 and 13, you see just a drastic difference. In verse 10, drinking the wine of the wrath of God. Torment. Verse 11, eternity of no rest, day nor night. Well, you compare that to verse number 13. Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works do follow them. God sees. Now listen, God sees today too. I'm thankful that I won't have to go through the tribulation period. But I don't have to read about the tribulation period and say, man, when God says those in the tribulation period who stand for him, they're going to be blessed. And I don't have to look from the outside and go, man, I wish I could be blessed. No, because in this life that I live, God says, you live for me, I will bless you. And the reality is sometimes we focus on the end times, whether it be wishing God would just come and take us away. When I've talked about this a lot, where I feel like we need to be a little bit more patient and ask God to be patient and merciful and give us more time to reach the lost. But we're also supposed to live in anticipation for the Lord's return. So I don't mean not to, but I think that sometimes we're so quick to say, burn them, when we should be saying, Lord, save them. In the same light, we can look into what God does for the martyrs in the tribulation period and read how God is going to care for them. And we looked at that last week, the song that only they could sing, the 144,000 that no one else knew. It was special for them. Well, listen, I might not sing the song of the 144,000, but I have my own song to sing. And God's goodness to me in this life, and God's goodness to me for eternity, and the blessings that I'm going to receive for following him in this life, they're going to far outweigh any blessing I can receive right now. I'm like anybody else. I sure like a round of applause. No, I'm just kidding. I like a pat on the back. I like a attaboy. You know what? My boss called me Tuesday, and he said, what are you doing? It's a Tuesday morning. He said, what are you doing? I said, I'm getting water in the truck. And he said, okay, good. He said, you need anything? I said, no. He said, all right, well, I'm just checking on you. Appreciate you. If you need anything, let me know. Now, at first, I was like, that's a really weird phone call. But I also appreciate it. I mean, I was there, and there was a few other guys standing around doing their stuff, and they didn't get a phone call. So I went around and told everybody. No, I'm just kidding. It's nice to be appreciated, and it feels good to be rewarded on this earth, but we have to learn and comprehend that the rewards that we're going to receive in heaven are so much greater than the rewards we receive on this earth. And when I read this, and I know this isn't pertaining to me as far as I'm not going to be there, I will not be one of these people, but at the same time, I'm reminded that all the scripture that teaches me, Vince, God says he's going to care for you, and he's going to provide for you, and he's going to bless you if you're faithful, and you follow him, and you obey him. It really is no different. And I think we lose sight sometimes of what eternity is. It's a long time. and to imagine how long eternity is and how much joy is in that eternity. Because on this earth, man, we have good times and bad times. In heaven, we don't have bad times. It's not good times and bad times. It's literally good times. And not like the 70 sitcoms or 80 sitcoms would have you believe. I mean, it's better than that. And now I don't remember. I wasn't around for the 70 sitcoms, but nonetheless, I've heard the songs. Listen, God loves us, and we can read here in Revelation 14 about the martyrs of the tribulation period, and we can see what God does for them, what God promises them. The reality is what God promises us is so incredibly similar. Blessings. Stand for God now. Well, what happens if I get ridiculed? What happens if I get fired? What happens if I don't have any friends? What happens if whatever? God says, stand for me. Here's the patience of the saints. Stand. Do what God wants you to do and trust that it'll be worth it when we get to the other side. And I believe we are going to be pleasantly surprised. I don't know how you picture heaven. I don't know if you picture pearly gates and an angel standing there with a book on a little pedestal checking you in as you get there. What's your name? Oh, yep, there you are. Come on in. I don't know if you imagine harps. I don't know if you see the glistening of the gold or the river, or you see green grass, or you see tall buildings, or you see, I don't know what you picture when you picture heaven, but I promise you, it's better than what you're imagining. I've never been there. I can't speak from experience, but I just have this inkling from reading the Bible. It's just going to be better than what we're picturing. And it'll be better. Listen, it's going to be great. But if you stand for God and serve God now, it's just going to be sweeter, that much sweeter for eternity as well. Lord, help us to live for you. Help us to love you. Help us to desire you. Lord, help us to be as the thirsting deer needing water, Lord, that we would just need you. And I pray that you would help us to live in light of the blessings that are to come. Help us not to focus so much on the now, but Lord, help us to see the big picture. And Lord, although we see this scripture that tells us there's an angel that will come during the tribulation and proclaim this eternal gospel to every nation and all that are on the earth, but Lord, we still have this commission. So help us to be faithful with it. Help us to take it seriously and help us to do our part to reach the world with the gospel while we live. So, Lord, give us what we need. Strengthen us, Lord, I pray. In Jesus' precious name, amen. All right, you can take your prayer list out if you have it.